When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jalen, you and Nick are obviously big voices on the team as the head coach and the quarterback. As you enter the bye and you want to find an identity, do you two talk about maybe, you know, what you want the message to be to the team or how you kind of want to handle, you know, as you guys go into the second part of the year?
We have our moments.
All right, welcome back. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. I mean, that question is not a difficult one by Elliot. I mean, Elliot's almost thrown him a softball. Like, yeah, we talk, you know, we'll be on the same page, whatever, however he wants to answer it to make us feel good. And he does it. And just like I felt in June when Jalen answered that question at the end of minicamp the way he did, it's calculated. He's not saying that by accident. You feel it. Something with the head coach and quarterback's not right, and it could hold us back. 215-592-9494. Would you move on from Sirianni today for Bill Belichick? It is our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. All right, let me look at the early viewing on the poll question. We'll see how this one evolves over the course of today, if Hugh and Kyle could convince more people. Because right now, 57% of people are voting yes, they would move on from Sirianni today for Bill Belichick.
That does surprise me.
It surprised me a little bit.
Not really. Eagles fans are passionate.
Well, yeah, of course.
And they're fed up with some of the stuff that they've seen over the last couple of weeks. The ones that always text me, or tweet, I should say, during the game, are the ones that are asking questions about the game while it's actually being played. Like, why aren't we running the ball? Why aren't we doing this or doing stuff like that? Because they don't understand it. And sometimes I don't understand it either. And to those people that tweet and text during the game, the reason why I don't respond, because I don't want to be in the moment responding or tweeting.
Well, that's why you got to compose yourself and two days later say, fire the coach for Bill Belichick. And then,
two whole days later, I still feel this way.
Be very mature about it and get a new coach in here. I
mean, that's football freaking awesome, guys.
It really
is. Freaking awesome.
It's more awesome when you win and you win championships. All right, let's hear from Michael Irvin. He chimed in on what Jalen Hurts had to say there, the we have our moments comment from Sunday's postgame. Here's Irvin.
You ask Jalen Hurts about you and your head coach, and you get that answer, we have our moment. If those two aren't together, that's a whole nother world. Mm-hmm. You got to be on the same page. And right now, that answer says to me, you got a football team that's falling apart. They must be on the same page. We must be about order, and that's the standard. That's the order bearer. Mm-hmm. If, I guarantee you'll never get Patrick Mahomes to say that about Andy Reid. I guarantee you'll never get Brock Purdy to say that about Kyle Shanahan. I'll give you this. You'll never get Dak Prescott to say that about Mike McCarthy. But he said that about his head coach.
So I think he's right on this, Hugh. You would never hear those quarterbacks to do that with their head coach. And you called Jalen average a few minutes ago. I think
yes.
You're right on that. I also want to make sure that I don't think this is all on Sirianni. Hurts is culpable, too. He's not playing
well
enough.
No, he's definitely culpable.
And he could be the bigger man at those press conferences, right? Like, Nick Sirianni does go out of his way. Like, what did he do the other day, saying turnovers are a team statistic? He goes out of his way to defend Hurts when Hurts is not playing well. It's never reciprocated. Hurts never seems to kind of throw him a bone or help him out when everyone's down on him, ever.
Yeah, and when you do things like that, you open yourself up for a lot of criticism. Now, I understand that Jalen was in a tough spot, not having all his players and everything like that, but you have to remain cohesive regardless of the situation, because especially now, because last year there was a lot of speculation about the team being fragmented.
Yep.
You're 2-2, and I hold firm to that. You're 2-2. But when you make comments like that, everybody latches on to that and they assume, rightfully so, that there's still something going on between you and the head coach, because that's not what you say in the position that you're in. If you're 1-3, then maybe that is something that should – it would probably be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But not at 2-2. This team, it's not over. Nothing has been decided yet. And there are no playoff teams that have been picked. And when you say stuff like that and you have the performance that you've had, that's not a good spot to be in. That's not a good spot for people to be speculating about what's going on inside the locker room of the Eagles right now.
No, it makes you feel like things are not right, that they never got fixed from the offseason. Will in the Northeast is up. What's up, Will?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will. What's up, pal?
All right, let me ask y'all a quick trivia question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the only running back that was able to rush for 1,000 yards in high school, college, and in the NFL?
I don't give a shit.
Derrick Henry.
I mean, come on, man. You said it. That was too easy.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joking, man. But let me get down to business real quick. But we got to give him props for stomping Dallas out for us. But this is my thing with Jalen Hurts, man, and with Sirianni. Both of these guys have to be leaders. It's not no friendship in this locker room right now. We have to step up and hold each other accountable. They need to hold each other accountable for what they're not doing. And it's crazy because, you know, we say we want Bill Belichick, and I know a lot of people do. But, yes, we got our players coming back after the bye week. And my thing is, will it hit the fan if we wind up losing out to the Browns? That's a big question. So now that's going to leave a question mark on the board. Is it worth continuing with this season with Sirianni or getting rid of him? And then we talking about getting rid of Hurts. Like, you think any of these bench players is going to be able to take us where we need to go? And my last thing,
mm-hmm.
I know I'm all over the place. My last thing, I don't think that that Jalen Hurts is playing to his potential because they're not allowing him to be him. I don't think they're allowing him to be able to, you know, run, scramble, whatever he needs to do to make some of the decisions on his own. I think they, like, stopped all that. And I think that's why he's, like, a little confused whether to stay in the pocket or take off.
Well, he does seem indecisive, Will. Well, we appreciate the phone call as always. You know, I don't know what the problem with Hurts is. I mean, there might be five problems. I don't know what the number one is. It does feel like he's indecisive. Like, when do I run? When do I throw? How quickly do I get rid of the football? What am I seeing? It just feels like 2 years ago, they were ahead of everybody. They mm-hmm. just they were one step ahead, and Hurts executed. Doesn't it feel like everything is hard now? Even when they make plays, it's like it's just hard.
It feels like he doesn't trust what he sees sometimes.
Yep.
Or he sees it and then in a split second, like he's in stream of consciousness, he just tries to pull it back and it's too late. Those couple of plays early in the game, I will say this about the game plan. It looked like they were trying to get him some easy throws mm-hmm. to get the game started. And Jalen didn't make those throws for whatever reason. If somebody dropped the pass, if he overthrew somebody or whatever. But the bottom line is this, and this is why I say that he's average, because I think going into this game as fans – and just listening to the comments, oh, he makes $250 million. For whatever reason, people feel that when you make that kind of money, it automatically makes you special. I mean, it kind of does in a sense. I mean, I get that. But they feel like you're supposed to go out and do extraordinary things. He didn't do that. He hasn't done that yet. Like, Jalen is a quarterback now. I think it's safe to say that if he doesn't have talent around him that can get it done – he's probably not going to get it done.
And if we go back to his college career to now, he's lived a very blessed life as a quarterback.
Yes.
He played at Alabama. He had Nick Saban. Look, think about all those NFL guys he played with. Then he went to Oklahoma. He had CeeDee Lamb. He had Lincoln Riley.
Yes.
Then he came to the Eagles. They had Jason Kelsey, right? They had eventually, not at first, but eventually they got A.J. Brown. Like, he's had a lot of good players, and he's won a lot, right? People always say he's a winner, and you could say that, but it's also like he's played with other good players.
He's played with a talented bunch of guys.
Of course, and
there is nothing wrong with that. But right now, as of today, as of this weekend, last weekend I should say, Jalen Hurts is skewing as an average quarterback.
He is, and what strikes me is I don't think, and this is, I'm just giving you my opinion. I don't know this. I don't think he respects Nick Sirianni.
At all.
And here's what I do believe, and maybe it wouldn't work, and maybe eventually they'd butt heads, and maybe you're right, Hugh. Maybe the game has passed him by a little bit. I think he would respect Bill Belichick. He played for Nick Saban. Those two are like, they're the same guy. They used to coach together. We never thought of Jalen as someone who didn't respect a coach until it became this coach. He respected Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. He respected Lincoln Riley. I thought he showed respect in his short time with Doug Peterson. There's something about him and Sirianni that's off the mark, and I feel like it could be resurrected if you bring Belichick in here.
That's kind of telling that all of a sudden he doesn't respect the coach that put him in position, for the most part, to be successful in the Super Bowl.
Unless he doesn't think he was the guy that put him in position.
Well, if that's what you think, you're mad about the fact that he fired your boy Brian Johnson, even with that situation, you were in control of whether or not Coach Johnson would have been here or not.
Yeah.
You know how you were in control?
Mm.
Play better.
Of course.
I mean, play better. Like, stop switching plays and do what's asked of you, you know, and stop going rogue.
So one more thing, and then back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. We'll play the Sirianni interview with Joe and John this morning coming up around 11:30. So you guys have made the point today, and a lot of people have to me, that this would kind of be a distraction. It'd be hard to get this going, right? It's an awkward middle of the season, you know, week five, whatever, bring a new coach in. Don't you guys feel the Sirianni thing's becoming a distraction? This is going to be, every time they lose a game, it's going to be, are you worried about your job? Says, we're in week four. And the quarterback's being asked after the game about how you and the head coach fix it. Nick Sirianni, who does a weekly spot with Joe and John, he's going to be asked every week, every time they lose, are you worried about your job? This room is reminding me of 2020 with Doug. That became a distraction. His future became a distraction. I think the Sirianni thing is a distraction for this football team. Let's go to Fabian in Miami. Hey, Fabian.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, what's Fabian. Up? What's up, pal?
Yeah. Man, last night, have you guys seen that game, man? I don't know if you guys seen when Jared Goff, he was in the pocket and he kind of, they twisted him around and he was able to set his feet, find a read and get the ball out.
Yep.
Man, I was like, man, if Jalen Hurts could just do half of that.
I know. But, and the crazy part, Fabian, is a couple, you know, 3 years ago, Goff was left for dead. I mean, the Rams dumped him and now he look how good he's been.
But yeah, I mean, besides that, I mean, I just think we should get rid of Nick Sirianni because, I mean, going back to a point that, you know, you guys had a while ago with, you know, whether the Phillies should keep Stubbs or Marshawn. And at that point, I felt like Marshawn was the better player, but you kept Stubbs because he plays good music in the locker room. Now, if Nick Sirianni was kept because he's a motivator for a culture guy and he's not doing his job, then what is he here for?
I don't know. Fabian, I've been wondering for a year now, what's the purpose of Sirianni, especially now that he's not involved with the offense, right? He's not calling plays. He's not on defense. He's not obviously motivating them to get off to good starts because they're flat every game. Like, I don't understand the point.
Yeah, and like at one point at that game on Sunday, at one point it was like, I think they said about, it felt like 108 degrees out there.
Yep.
And then you can tell that it was just really weighing on those guys, man. Like, they just looked lifeless, like on the sideline. Nobody was really speaking. Nobody was like, you know, there was no motivation, no nothing. And it's like, man, like, I just feel like the coach needs to be having these players prepared, ready for these games, for whatever. You know what I mean? You can't be – he's already 4 years in the league where he's getting caught off guard by too many things that are just obvious. Like, you know Todd Bowles is going to blitz you, and you know he was going to psych you out. You got – I mean, you know, with Saquon, you got to throw those screens. You got to throw quick screens, set the play up so they can – you know, you get the defense to back off of you. Like this is all just coaching to me.
It is. And the fact that they're unprepared, it seems like. Fabian, a good phone call. I mean, Hugh, they're the only team in the league not to score a point in the first quarter.
Yeah.
That kills me.
I hear what he's saying about unprepared, but I feel like when we talk about this, we have to be fair and balanced in our assessment. Defense did them no favors by letting them march down the field and score almost immediately.
They didn't.
And then put them right back on the field.
But then maybe, all right, so.
But and then they scored again.
Well, let me throw this out there. If you know your defense stinks, why do you defer every time?
And you have to, if your defense is having a tough day, if they start out having a tough day,
yep.
Don't throw the ball as much. Especially when you talk about, think about that first sequence. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers march down the field, they score a touchdown, and then they come back and we go 1-2-3 punt. Is that, if I'm not mistaken?
I believe it was. And I think the third down was Hurts overthrowing Saquon deep down the field.
And then they get back on the field and they score again. Mm-hmm. And we have kind of like the similar sequence. At that point, maybe even if, you know, eat the clock, eat some, slow it down. Let the defense make those adjustments.
Yeah.
Let the defense make the adjustments that they need to make. Give them an opportunity to breathe because they were right back out there on the field. You got to give them a chance. You can't go into a game knowing that your defense is struggling and put them back out there immediately. That's a recipe for disaster. That's where I say it's on coaching. That's the part of coaching that you can't do. You can't put them back out there,
and
man.
And part of, you know, obviously this was years ago now, but when Sirianni gave up play calling and he became a game day coach, right, CEO coach, he's supposed to feel this, right? Like this is – the whole thing is he's got to have a feel of the game and the day and the moment because he's not locked into the offense or the defense. And I just don't see it. Big V is in Mount Laurel. What's up, Big V?
Joe, you're killing me, man.
Why?
You know what? You remember I said that, you know, I agree with you 20% of the time?
Mm-hmm.
We're down to 3.
Mm. Well, that's a shame because you're missing out on the best takes here. Now, Big V, why am I killing you? Like, what am I saying that's unfair?
Okay, you want to be the, you know, see, one thing I hate is when there's a slow content day for you.
How? This is not a, Big V, this isn't a slow content, hold on. There are slow content days on sports radio, like in the middle, the beginning of July or June,
in March.
Or
used
February.
To be in March, right?
It's the Eagles season, Big V. We didn't need to do this today. We're doing it because I think it's the best thing for the Eagles.
Okay, well, here's the best thing for the Eagles.
Go ahead.
Stop talking about Belichick.
Why?
Now this is why you want us to fire a coach that's brought us to the Super Bowl,
oh my God,
to the playoffs,
yeah,
for a coach that has been fired and no other team wants him. Really? The same
Big V, you don't have to like Bill Belichick. That's fine, and I get that. I know a lot of people don't and hate him, and that's you could feel that. But the Eagles fired a coach that won the Super Bowl, Big V. Won the game. Actually had stones in the game and went for a fourth down to get them in where they had to be.
Belichick got fired and he won multiple Super Bowls.
And Tom Brady got let go. And the only team that signed him, there were two teams interested, the Bucks and the Bears. Teams make mistakes. Big V, the idea that he went to the Super Bowl 3 years ago has no merit on his future. How long do we keep him?
Okay, well, let's look at his future. Right now, Howie Jeffrey has put Nick and Jalen in the position, the best possible position for their success. He's got a great complement of people. He's got a great deal of weapons. And all they have to do is this. Remember when Donovan was slumping? You know what Andy Reid did to get his confidence back
up? What's that?
He got him to do some of his old college plays. Mm. And then Donovan's confidence came back and we went to, playoffs and almost a championship?
Big V, that's Andy Reid. We have Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni has been a proven winner. And you know what? It's not going to be hard for him to get a job.
I mean, a proven Super Bowl contender.
Big V, I have a prediction for you. Nick Sirianni will never be a head coach again after he leaves the Eagles. Ever.
You know what? If I was a gambling man, I'd take all of your money and your next two unborn children. But
Big V, before we end our phone call, tell me something he does well as a head coach. Just give me one thing.
Tell you something he does well as a head coach.
You know what I usually find? When people repeat the question, they don't have an answer. What does he do well, Big V? What does he do well?
When people repeat the question, they're generally trying to think. It's nice
because
to think
you. But wait a second. But Big V, if I say to you, what does Kyle Shanahan do well as a head coach? I don't know. He's the best offensive schemer in the NFC. Give me one thing Sirianni does well.
Well, he brings the team together.
No, he brings the team together. I got a corner on Micah Parsons' podcast. Ripping his teammate.
Oh, you know what? If you're going to ask me a question, give me an opportunity to answer.
Well, you said something silly. Go ahead.
Give him opportunity.
Okay. He leads the culture. He checks on everything, and he takes accountability for stuff that he doesn't even have to take accountability for.
He do take a lot of bullets.
So he's the fall guy.
He does. Mm. Listen, and you know, and Jalen, and stop reading more into what Jalen says. Jalen has always told the truth.
I usually let you and Joe go, but now I gotta ask. What was the truth that Jalen revealed to us the other day? I'm curious. What was the truth?
We have our moments.
What does that mean?
No, wait a minute. Big V, we read between the lines. Now, you said it. What does that mean? Help me out here. Talk to me like I'm a 2-year-old. What does that mean?
Okay. That means, you know, every now and then, mommy and daddy disagree, but they still love each other and love you.
Yes. Hey, I like the way you recovered with that, but I don't think it's a joke,
quite frankly.
Big V, I'm all for relationships trying their best, but sometimes divorce is best, and it's the best this quarterback and this coach get divorced, Big V. This is
but
not working.
Thing. If we divorce Sirianni right now, we might as well say we're kissing our season goodbye.
Why?
Yeah, I'm not with that.
At
why?
2-2,
Big
you
V.
Want to end this season.
He doesn't call the plays on either side. They're not prepared to start the game. You make it sound like they're going to lose every game without Nick Sirianni. He could not show up next Sunday and they'll beat the Browns.
Okay, for a coach as bad as Sirianni, we're still 2-2. He can't be that bad.
But he doesn't do anything. Do you think if he's not there next Sunday, they would lose the game? Like, I mean, he doesn't show up. He takes the day off. I think they win the game.
You know what? And then, you know, he was there last Sunday and we lost the game.
Right, so, that's the point. He doesn't add anything of positive value. Don't you see this?
I see a lot of positive value. I see him sticking up for his team.
Oh, okay.
I see him being accountability for what they're doing.
So he's the fall guy. So he's Howie Roseman's fall guy. That's what you tell me he is. We got it, Big V. Is that why we're keeping him around? Is that why Howie's keeping him around?
He's the fall guy. He's taking a lot of bullets.
I mean, Kyle's been saying this in our meetings.
He's taking a lot of heat, man.
This conversation is going to turn to Howie. I part of me wonders if they're keeping him around just to take the bullets for this year.
So I get the whole thing, like, that the head coach takes the bullets for the team, takes accountability.
Yeah.
That's nice. But at what point do we start to question, why are there so many things he has to take accountability for?
I think that's fair. The quarterback, the roster,
honestly,
the defense.
Like, there's too many problems. And him wearing it is nice, but there's too many things to wear.
And he's always got to be the guy that wears
right.
it.
Right. Of course he does.
I think that's why the players like him.
Sure. And that's acceptable. Like, I don't have any problem with him standing up there and wearing it for the players. But, like, there's a deeper issue here.
You're taking a lot of bullets.
Yeah, there's a lot of bullets to take.
he's taking a lot
too
of
many.
Arrows. He's slinging of arrows.
And by the way, if you think that the mommy and daddy love each other with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, you're freaking brain dead.
Yeah,
the love is
gone.
You're blind. The love is gone.
I like how Big V tried to spin it, though.
The spin job, I mean, to start it off,
no.
That Nick Sirianni took us to a Super Bowl and Bill Belichick is fired was an epic spin job.
Actually, I was impressed with that. That's
he would have been better when he said, do mommy and daddy love each other? Yeah, we have our moments.
Yeah. I love Big V, but that was delusional.
That was bad.
It was wild spin there. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Tom in Reading. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Tom. What are you feeling?
I think that the Eagles shouldn't go for Bill Belichick, which, I mean, it would be smart, but I think it would be so, like hectic there for you guys. Because all Sirianni is a yes man. All he is a yes man. And Bill Belichick, he got to take that.
That's why Coach Belichick is probably not here. I mean,
you're probably
I think that's
right.
a fair assessment.
I think you guys are right on this.
Yeah, but that's probably why Coach Belichick
yeah.
isn't here.
That the Eagles want a certain kind of head coach, and Bill, for a lot of reasons,
doesn't fit that bill.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be that.
Exactly. What you guys see all over the offseason that they call the man to interview him. So that automatically says that, hey, they're not sure about their head coach. They want Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably was like, yeah, no, I'm good with that. I don't want to be the head coach. And honestly, if we're going to be technical, I think the Cowboys is a better job than Bill Belichick because, you know, the owner's the general manager, and that dude's old and kind of an idiot. So Bill Belichick would be like, hey, I'm right in there.
Tom, I agree. And that's part of my reasoning here is I don't want him to end up on the Cowboys. I don't want the Cowboys to have that kind of coach. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll let you hear Sirianni's conversation with the morning show earlier today. We'll have that for you. He answered a lot of tough questions, and he took a ton of bullets. That's what he does. He stands up for his guys. They like him. We'll get your calls as well. Reaction to this and Nick this morning. 215-592-9494.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
For Sirianni's, the heat is obviously getting there on his seat. Would you fire him today for Bill Belichick? I would do it. I think it'd be better for now. and for the future. You get a jump on the future. Let him evaluate this thing for the rest of the season. Keep him out of Dallas. Keep him out of New York. Would you fire Sirianni for Belichick today? Your phone call is coming up. 215-592-9494. We'll also get to the passing yesterday of Pete Rose, and we'll look ahead to the MLB playoffs, which start today. We now know who the Phillies could play starting Saturday. All coming up. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio coming up next hour. We'll talk to Ross Tucker, his take on the Eagles. 2-2 at the bye. We'll get to the MLB playoffs, which start today, by the way. And we now know it's the Phillies against either the Brewers or the Mets. What a wild game yesterday in Atlanta. The Mets winning that first one to get in the playoffs. Mets in, Braves in, no Diamondbacks. So Phillies don't have to deal with that this year. We'll get to that coming up. And what Darius Slay had, what he did yesterday. I was going to say what he had to say, but it's really what he did at this point. We'll get to all that coming up. Hugh, before we go back to the phones and listen to what Sirianni said this morning to Joe and John, we did get, yesterday was a big day, unfortunately, for huge names and big characters in the city of Philadelphia sports history that passed away. We reacted to Dikembe Mutombo yesterday. Very sad. 58 years old. He was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I loved Dikembe. And then an even bigger name in the annals of sports yesterday, Pete Rose, at the age of 83, passed away. Hugh, he has one of the most complicated legacies because I know there's so many people out there that loved him as a player, but he disgraced himself in so many ways when he wasn't playing, and it's just, look, it's sad when anyone passes away, and I know he brought a lot of people joy in this city when he helped the Phillies win the World Series, but, you know, I, as time went on, and when I was young, I wanted to be a fan of his. I wanted him in the Hall of Fame. I read his book, and then as time went on, it was very hard for me to feel empathy for him. The passing, we wish his family the best, but it's just weird when someone of the stature of Pete Rose passed away because it's so complicated, his legacy.
Well, it's controversial. Because there's a lot in his past. I don't, have to go into detail, but a lot of people feel certain kind of ways about it.
Yep.
And you never want to speak ill of the dead. And that's the one thing that I am not going to do. But he was a very, very polarizing figure.
You met him before?
Yes, I have. I did an interview with him on a radio station. I think when he was in Cincinnati, I think it was my rookie year.
Okay.
Or something like that. I can't vaguely remember what we were talking about. Yeah, he was doing a show. And I got a chance to meet him. And this was during a time where I didn't know anything about all of the stuff that was going on, anything like that. Well, I had vaguely knew. I mean, I wasn't living under a rock, but as he got older and things started to come out, it was a lot. He was a very, very complicated man. Very, very complicated.
I think that's a good way to put it. His record will probably never be broken in terms of the hit record in Major League Baseball. Obviously was a big part of the Phillies getting over the hump and winning a championship. He's one of the most famous athletes ever. And yesterday we found out he did pass away at the age of 83. Rest in peace, Pete Rose, who I know brought a lot of people joy, and then a lot of people, in a lot of ways for different reasons, angst on and off the field. We say rest in peace to Pete Rose. Let's go back to the phones lines here, and we'll bring you the full conversation with Sirianni, with Joe and John from earlier this morning. Let's go to Tony, who's in Willow Grove. Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, Tony. What's up, buddy?
Listen, man, I hate to say it, but I got to agree with you, Joe. First of all, man, I think if the relationship between the quarterback and the coach is fractured and it's spilled over into this season, you got to cut the cord. You got to just get rid of it, man. You got to just understand that if you want to keep Jalen, maybe Belichick is the answer, maybe he's not, but you have to get Sirianni out of here if they're going at it back and forth and there's no mutual respect for each other. How do you expect Jalen to go out and execute what he's supposed to do and be held accountable for somebody he doesn't respect?
Tony, I agree. I mean, there's some worry about trying to not ruin this season. I'm worried about ruining the quarterback. Like, I got to save my investment in the quarterback. The Eagles are going to go the next 2 or 3 years as Hurts goes, and I don't know if it's going to work with Sirianni.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. That's why I agree with you. And another thing, too, like, Belichick, I mean, he's won. He's proven. And if he can come in here and get the respect of Jalen, and then we can really see what we really got. Now, if we can get a quarterback, a coach of that stature, or him or anybody else, and they come in here and Jalen still's not performing or living up to his expectations, then we know what the next move is. We got to get a quarterback. But again, I agree with you as far as the easier fix is to get rid of Sirianni. He just doesn't. I don't see what he does besides being a pom pom holder. You both get the morale on the team, but you got guys on podcasts talking trash about other teammates and stuff like that. That stuff is not acceptable. And you, as a coach, supposed to let that be known from day one. So that being said, if you want to go any further, well, all this talent that we got on this team, get somebody in here that can be respected and somebody that's going to actually see what's the problem and try to have a plan how to fix it. And I don't think Sirianni has a plan. I really just don't. He's not a good play caller. I just don't see what he does. He's probably a nice guy, and I think he's a character. But I don't want him as my head coach. And if Jalen doesn't perform after this year, you got to start looking for another quarterback.
Tony, this is
find out.
Tony, this has nothing to do with you. But I've heard a lot of people the last couple of days have called in, especially when it comes to firing Coach Sirianni and talking about we need to move on because him and Jalen don't get along. That's not normal behavior in life. And I don't know why people think that it's like that in football. I know that there's money involved, and you talk about how much money somebody's made and everything like that, but that's not how it works in life, and we need to stop acting like that's how it works in football. Coach Sirianni and Jalen, for whatever reason, they didn't get along last year. We kind of feel like that was the case. For whatever reason, the boss and the CEO, let's talk about it like that. Let's take football out of it. Let's talk about real-world analogies. The head, the boss, the guy that runs the company, hired this guy to the CEO. He hired him to do this job. He's okay with the job that he's done. The coworkers, the workers that work for him were hired because he feels like they are the best players for this job. They have to figure out how to make it work because the head guy, the guy that signs the checks, decided on the coach and he decided on the quarterback. And for whatever reason, they have to figure it out. So, Jalen, you see what I'm saying, Tony? So
yes, I do. And he's accountable, too.
And Jalen has to be accountable.
I agree.
We have to stop acting like Jalen has no skin in the game.
So, I agree. And Tony, it's a good phone call. And, Hugh, I agree. Jalen's a part of this. But I wonder if you have to separate the two so you figure out what the real problem is. Like, it's easier to fire the coach. Right? We agree on that. The coach is small potatoes. The quarterback is cap situation. You got to get another quarterback. If this season plays out bad, let's just play it out. They go 7-10, and Jalen's only okay, and Sirianni's not the worst coach, but he's not getting anywhere. Then what do you do after the season? You don't know, is Jalen going bad because Sirianni and him are in a toxic relationship, or is Jalen just going bad?
Can we have this tough conversation right now, Joe? Because I think that there's enough sampling in four games that it's okay to say this. And I know a lot of people are going to get mad, but it's okay to say this. When we think of quarterbacks for the last 2 weeks, and I'm going back, Rhea, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm thinking about some of the texts that Rhea sent me in the last 2 weeks. Jalen, we got the game against the Saints. We got it. But if you're being honest about yourself on that last drive, who thought, honestly, that we were going to win that game?
Yeah, very few people.
Very few people, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're being honest with yourself, you were concerned about what the quarterback was going to do. You were concerned about what the quarterback was going to do. Last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we're down a lot of players. We knew that we were in a bad spot, but we were expecting the quarterback to rise to the occasion and make average players special. He didn't do that.
I agree.
He did not do that. What do we do? Think about this. 2 minutes left on the clock. If Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, hell, Russell Wilson, any of those guys out there, what are you thinking? That's too much time.
Oh, in their prime, yeah.
In their prime. Jalen's not that guy. That's the reality that we have to face, people.
I agree.
Jalen is not that guy.
So I agree with you on this, and that is his own issue. And I how they solved that, I don't know. I mean, if Jalen keeps playing like this, they're going to draft a quarterback after the season. They are. In 2019, Wentz was very up and down, very average. They drafted Jalen Hurts. We are in 2019 Wentz in terms of Wentz watch. That's where we're at. Mm-hmm. Jalen is in 2019 Wentz, you know, world. If he doesn't play better, they're going to draft a quarterback, and then away we go. And Hugh, you're right. But I feel like every time this comes up, it's like an excuse for Sirianni. How does he help the situation?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it's his fault Jalen is going backwards.
I know it's
backwards.
Not, but
I just feel like we feel bad for Nick. I just want the team to win, and I don't think Nick helps.
This is what I'm trying to say. Jalen needs to, and I don't know if this is the case or not. This is me speculating, because that's what we do.
A little reckless speculation?
A little reckless speculation.
On a Tuesday?
Jalen needs to realize that he might not be that dude. He might not be. Because we're talking about, think about those couple of weeks, and I just want you to think. Don't get mad at me for what I'm saying. Just think about what I'm saying. Jalen has had two instances where he's tried to put himself in position to make plays where he's fumbled the ball. When he pulled it down last week, the one that we most recently remember, he put him in the phantom zone. He thought the blocker.
Shadow realm.
Realm. He put him in the shadow realm.
And he came right back out of the shadow realm.
And he came right back out of the shadow realm and sacked him. Lost the ball. Jalen needs to realize his skill set right now.
He does.
Maybe he needs to pull it back a little bit and say, hey, maybe I might not be that guy.
You know what? And as long as he's here, Sirianni should be hard on him. He's got to get him to play better. Sirianni this morning, he was on with Joe and John. Let's listen to that. We can react together afterwards. A lot going on the show today, but we wanted to bring this to you. Sirianni this morning, his full interview with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
Let's talk to the head coach of the Eagles 2-2 squad, Nick Sirianni, as he is brought to us today by Bud Light. You can join Ava Graham at Creekside Sports Bar in Limerick for an Eagles pep rally Friday night, October the 11th. So that's prior to the next game after the bye. Win tickets, sign merchandise, and more. And Nick Sirianni with us right now. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
what's up,
Nick.
Coach?
So Nick, there's so much to get to here. Let's just start with what we have been hearing the most this week. And that is, I'm going to be very blunt, and that is your job status. So 24-0 hole early, outgained at one point 254 yards to nothing. Are you feeling the heat ratcheting up on your job status?
No, I'm just worried about getting the team better. I'm just worried about the bye week and putting ourselves in position to win, coming out of the bye week. And then I'll be worried about the Cleveland Browns. You can't worry about any of those different things. Right now we're 2-2, got a lot of football in front of us, and just put my head down and work.
Nick, without going into every detail schematically, which I know you can't say publicly, but how do you get the team out of this? I mean, how do you get them to actually play better football?
Yeah, again, it's always going to start with our fundamentals, and we'll work like crazy on that as far as our tackling, as far as our ball security, as far as taking the football away, our blocking, right, catching. Like, it doesn't matter what level of football you're at. Those things determine games, right? And so those will be things that we'll study this week. Anything that we can do better as far as how we practice it, first and foremost as coaches, and then what are the common denominators? That's what you use the bye week for. What are the common denominators of what's going on with each individual thing, so we can narrow in on that even more. And so it starts with that, and then, as coaches, we got to put these guys in positions to make plays, and then, we got to go out and execute. So it's everybody's in this together, coaching, playing. Again, just gotta get better throughout this bye week, leading into this next spot and see what, and dive in more about what our issues are. We got a good idea of what the issues are and what we need to fix. And then it's just, zeroing in on that. As you, every time you go through a bye week, you figure out a little bit more than you even thought you would. So I'm encouraged to do that here today and tomorrow and the next day. We grinded on that yesterday after the players left. So this will be a busy week for the coaches.
Nick, going back to last December 3rd, the regular and postseason, the team's record is 3-8. How good is this team?
This team's 2-2. I can't focus on what happened last year. That's behind us. We did the things that we needed to do after that season. And this team's 2-2. Saquon Barkley doesn't care that those are,
right,
three, and what I'm saying? Like, and neither does Mekhi Becton and all these new guys. Chauncey doesn't concern these guys. This team's 2-2, and we have things to clean up from the 2024 Eagles. That's all we're focused on. I think what I always try to get the guys to concentrate on is, like, okay, we're 2-2 right now. We can't go 5-2 after this next, after the bye week, or 5-2 after this game. You got one game to play. So you can't look too far ahead and say, well, we could, if we win this one, this one, and this one, then we'll be sitting at that. You don't do that, right? You know that. And you know that you have to focus on one game at a time. Well, if you're not looking into the future, you can't look back either. Now, you can fix the problems and work on fixing the problems that have occurred, but to say that, in the past of what happened and say, hey, we're this, I think that, that's just not productive. We lost the last game. How are we going to win this next game is all our focus is.
So, Nick, let's talk about Jalen. You know, from the offseason, the hope obviously was with Kellen Moore here, a new or at least better version of Jalen emerges, more effective, more secure with the ball, more precise in decision-making. It does not seem that that is happening. Why is that not happening?
You know, he's definitely had good moments, and as a team, we've had good moments. And as a team, we've had tough moments, right? And so we're just working for consistency as a football team. You know, I know that everything, you know, the first thing that's going to be looked at is myself and Jalen, and rightfully so. You know, we're the head coach and the quarterback, and we completely understand that. But we're just looking for consistency throughout the entire team. You know, myself, Jalen, the team included. So that's what we're focused on, is that. And so, again, we've had good moments as a team. Jalen's had good moments, and we've had not as good moments, right, which has led to the two losses. And that's myself, that's Jalen, that's the entire team. And so, again, I think just the best way to answer your question of what you're asking is consistency, but that's consistency through the entire football team.
How do you safeguard against abandoning the run? How do you make sure to call enough runs moving forward?
Yeah, you know, we are a team that is going to run the football, and we want to run the football. We got a guy in Saquon Barkley who is special at running the football. We got special offensive linemen. I think when you look at their circumstances in each game, I told you guys this, like, we'll do whatever we need to do to win the football game. So if that's run Saquon 50 times, then that's what it is. If it's run him 10 times, that's what it is. In a game, and I'm obviously referring to this last game and the carries and the touches that he had. You know, when you go three and out, we went three and out the first three possessions.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the game in succession, offense, defense. And at one point, we had six plays on offense, and we were down 21-0. Like your game plan changes there, where you have to make some time up to try to get back into the football game. And so down that many possessions, it changes it a little bit, right? Which lets them pin their ears back a little bit. I get that as well, but also, you know, if you look at those first, I think we nine plays within the first quarter and a half. Well, in those nine plays, right, you're in third down three of them. So you're doing whatever you got to do. In third and 10, you're probably not running the football. So, you know, you're trying to do what you need to do to continue the drive. You don't say I'm starting with a run every single time. That's just not the way it goes. You know that. And you're trying to get yardage. Like you're trying to get, you know, if you're in second and 10, you might have to pass it again if you pass it on first down. And so the carries got a little bit, like there's no secret. We want to give Saquon the football a lot. He's shown that he's a great football player in this league for a long time. He's had some great moments here as an Eagle, and we want to give him the football. The way the game went, limited his touches a little bit this last game because we didn't play good enough offense, defensively, or special teams-wise. And that you got to look at me first and foremost when something like that happens. So the plan is to get him the football because he's a heck of a football player, and we know that when we do that, we'll be able to, you know, have a lot of good moments.
Nick Sirianni with us, as he is every Tuesday here on WIP at this time. Nick, let's talk about a situation. Look, I've been doing this for 25 years in sports talk radio. I've never asked this to a coach, but I'm going to go there here. I think it's warranted. Do you think one of your players, Devin White, wants to be cut? I mean, let me put it another way. Sunday, his activity on social media struck me as a player trying to force his hand, force your hand for the organization to cut him. Do you think that's what he's doing?
You know, Devin has been a great teammate here since the moment he's got here, and I really respect Devin for that because not only has he been a great teammate when he's working with the ones in training camp, but he's also been a great teammate when, you know, the things haven't went his way. I really admire that on Devin, is because he hasn't changed who he is. He still works hard to for the team, different role of what he, you know, what he has to do on a week-to-week basis. And I'm telling you, I really admire the things that he's done to, you know, and just how professional he's been. You know, don't know much about the what you're referring to. I mean, I've gotten a little nugget on that, but like haven't really looked into it much. Just trying to fix some other things on this football team. But I just know, like, again, only thing you can judge is your experiences with people and his experiences in this building. And I can't say enough good things about Devin White, the person. I really can't, because you got to put yourself in his situation. He's been a good player in this league for a while, and you know it's not going the way he wanted it. But he's still showing up every single day, still being a great teammate, still working hard, still getting ready to play each and every week. And I admire that about him.
Nick, you know, obviously the main thing is how you guys perform in the field. Everyone knows that. There's also the connectivity to the city, which is, you know, a part of an organization. Something like Darius Slay, and, you know, he goes to Twitter Sunday after the game praising his career. I mean, you guys just got blown out, basically, and he's going to his Twitter to praise his career. I mean, do you talk to him and say, like, dude, not the time and place? Like, what? Not now.
Well, first and foremost, his career has been incredible. He's had an incredible career. I think what we have to do as players, as coaches, is you have to be able to block out noise, because, you know, noise is going to be there. When you don't perform well on the field, there's going to be noise. And who are you really trying? What you're trying to do is do everything you can do to win the football game, do everything you can do to please, you know, to be a good teammate, to be a good, you know, in the locker room and everything like that. Slay is one of the best teammates on this team. Like, there's a reason why he's been voted a captain here, because he's a great, great, great teammate. And I think we can all have moments of, hey, you just lost a game. You're taking some criticism and be upset about it. That's why it's so important that you block it out. You block out the criticism. You got to block out the praise as well, because, you know, there was praise last week. So you just got to block it out. And because all that matters is that we're getting better. And we love our fans. We love everything that they bring to this team. But at times, you just got to block out. You got to block out and put your head down and just work. But again, like I said, for Slay, there's not a better teammate on this team. And, you know, and he has had a phenomenal career. But, you know, again, we got to do what we got to do to make sure that we have a clear mindset, so we're operating at a high level and not be affected by outside noise.
There was Sirianni this morning with Joe and John Hugh. I thought that was a strong interview from those guys. I mean, they asked him.
Yeah, he asked some tough questions, man.
You got to ask him. I mean, so we had played before and we talked about his response to his job status. Does he feel the heat? He moved off that and said, I'm just focused on winning the game. But Hugh, I thought the questions about Devin White and about Darius Slay were fair questions. I mean, I thought Joe had a really strong question. Do you think Devin White's trying to get cut? I mean, Devin White, you know, if you missed it the other day, he said it was an accidental thing, whatever. He retweeted or said he wanted to like a post about Levante David sacking and strip sacking Jalen Hurts. It's one of those things you're like, why did you do that? I mean, yeah. I get why Joe asked the question.
Yeah, it's – and the only thing that I could offer is that it's a different era. It's a different time. I can't imagine. I saw a tweet this morning where Trey said, basically, I couldn't imagine me or seeing Bobby, Al Harris, Bobby Taylor, and all those guys, Troy Vincent, talking on a podcast to the ops, because that's what the kid called them, the ops, about the play of Brian Dawkins. You just never do that, even in a joking, playful way. There's certain lines that I feel that should not be crossed. I don't care where you've been. If you were a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, you won a Super Bowl with those guys. You're an Eagle now. And you have to respect the teammates that you have. And a lot of times, I don't think kids think about stuff like that.
Yeah, I
think they're in the moment. And they get excited and not think about what potentially the backlash is.
So I think you're right on that. I don't know if it was purposeful. But I always think, like, we're speaking about podcasts, social media, YouTube, all that stuff. Hugh, it could be private. Like, if Devin White has a relationship with Levante David, they're friends, right? He said that he's one of his best friends, right? His former teammate. No one would know if he texted Lavonte David in that moment, right? And said, great play, man. I'm happy for your success. No one would know. It's a private thing. He did it on a social media platform. Sometimes I think we give these guys the benefit of that, like, they didn't mean it. Well, but, like, you got to be aware of how it looks, right? It looks bad.
I think to a certain extent you are, but you don't care.
Well, a lot of times
I think that kids, all publicity is publicity at this point. I honestly think that Darius Slay knew to a certain extent what he was doing because that's your teammate. The unfortunate thing about it is this. You got to go in the locker room with him.
I know. You do. And it's one of those things where it's all part of the what we got going on here with this Eagles team. 215.
He might put his hands on you.
592-9494. If that report comes out, this ship is taking on water. All right. Ross Tucker will join us at 12:45. We'll get to what happened yesterday in baseball. And starting today, the playoffs. Who do we want? The Mets or the Brewers starting on Saturday? And someone on this show has a personal history with Bill Belichick. Hugh's going to share his experience with Bill next. I want Sirianni out, Belichick in. Agree, disagree. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.